You wouldn't believe it. Most people in distress, they're not clear on where they stand. They may think they have 10,000 and they actually end up having 28,000 of debt. They may think they have 50,000 and they have over 100,000. I'm telling you the truth.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is John Nicholas. I am super excited to talk to you today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, you're welcome, Mike. Love being here and love what you're doing.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate that. I really do. And I appreciate the chat that we had before we pushed record. This is a pretty exciting interview, especially because of what we're going to be discussing today. This podcast is all about helping people get out of debt so they can get to that point where they can invest and start living their life. And a lot of times, a lot of my guests are like real estate investors or people that are already at that point where they're doing that. So every time I have the opportunity to talk to somebody that's going to bring us back to the basics of how to beat debt and start to that place in life where you can get there, it's always exciting for me. So if you could share a little bit more about yourself and your story, how did this all get started for you?
When I was barely 16 years old, I was a knucklehead and basically a dumb jock. And I managed to crash into a house during a Halloween car chase with police when I was just barely 16 years old. Thankfully, nobody got hurt, but it was devastating because I was thrown in jail and kicked off my high school football team. And I let down everybody, family, friends, my new girlfriend who was waiting for me at the dance our school was throwing to keep us off the streets that night. Terrible crossroads in life. And I had to look in the mirror after apologizing to everybody and just trying to figure out what's up. And just, I had to dig deep and really look at where I had come from. Basically, my dreams and my DNA, okay? And I had to pull it together because I was not a good student. I was marginal athletically. Here I was off my team. And the only aspiration I had was maybe to play college football or something like that. That was out there. And maybe if I dug deeper, there was a little tiny dream to be a pro athlete. But anyway, bottom line was I managed to dig up just from the trenches and change my mind and catch a vision for going forward. And within a year, managed to turn things around and become team captain, president of Key Club, campus leader, LA Times All-Star, and had turned the academics around so much that I was being recruited by Harvard and Brown University. So it was a major turnaround, and it showed me that amazing things are possible, okay? You can be a dumb jock who just makes a decision to look at things differently, to do things differently, and that worked out athletically, trained like never before, hit like never before, all those things. And so all things are possible. And I didn't even know much at the time, but I do know that amazing things can happen when we change our mindset and change our direction. So that I want to encourage everybody. I don't care where you are or who you are or what your situation, we got you. You can do this.
You went really a lot deeper there to talk about something that you did when you were 16 years old, probably one of the biggest mistakes you've ever made. And that's huge. Like I'm sitting here taking down notes and I'm like, man, at 16, he was arrested, crashed his car into a house while he was being chased by the police on Halloween night. And he was supposed to be at a dance that night that was supposed to prevent all this from happening. Man. Like, that's pretty rough stuff. Look at where you are now. Look at what the lessons that you've learned from that. And you made that mindset shift, right? You realize that you put yourself in a situation where you hurt other people besides yourself and other people were affected by your actions. And you said, man, something's got to change. So something just switched for you and you changed that mindset. And then look at what happened after that. You started crushing it academically, getting recruited by Harvard and Yale and just other Ivy League schools. That's amazing. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's super cool. But to fast forward to where you're at today, right? So you yourself went through a lot of changes in your life, right? To the point where you've been jobless, you had racked up a whole bunch of debt, and you found yourself clawing and climbing out of this pit that was dug. So what is it that you have done on your own personal journey to beating debt and financial freedom?
After partnering with a friend, a hometown friend, and building up an Emmy award-winning sports media company, and we had just sold it to a public firm right before 9/11. And they had very high hopes and expectations. And our markets froze after 9/11. And I was in New York City having meetings a month or so later that were dismal, because sponsors and advertisers were just not making decisions and we were struggling. And I stood one night looking at 9/11 as all night 24/7 work crews were clearing the debris. And I was looking at that, just thinking about all the people who had perished there, wondering if my days were done. This was not looking good business-wise. And sure enough, it didn't take long before our parent company cut costs dramatically, starting with me. So I was jobless. I was a co-founder of a company that was really cool. And I had no money coming in. I already had some debt because as an entrepreneur, you tend to lug some of that around. And it took me months to work through an executive search situation. And anyway, a bunch of stuff that ended up being, so I was trying to keep my family afloat with no income. So I understand how people feel when they lose a job or their business goes bust or whatever. And so I tried several things. I tried some consolidation. I tried a management plan. I looked at all kinds of, I didn't know that much, but I did at least try a few things, but I couldn't do anything because I had no money coming in. You can't do a lot in that scenario. So I was even looking at bankruptcy, doing it myself, it's a lot harder to do today, and things like that. At a certain point, I had to just bite the bullet. I had to go through a simple Chapter 7 bankruptcy and basically start over. It's one of seven options that exist, or one of seven approaches that I discuss with people about how to deal with your debt. But in any case, I then was able, by the grace of God, to be invited by a friend to Dallas, move from LA to Dallas to help him build up his real estate company. And we took it from a very small firm to number one sales team in Texas, number two in the whole U.S., and that's per Wall Street Journal rankings. So in other words, we killed it. He had some genius that I recognized, and I came in with some different additions, and we built it up and had some amazing new kinds of models with investors, with corporate relocation, with regular folks, with builders, all kinds of things that 4 years later, the Great Recession wiped it all out. And so there again, there was a reboot. So I've been through some tough stuff, but I've learned subsequently how to recover and prepare and be situated. And thankfully, things have gone well since then in both real estate and like remodeling businesses, things like that.
Yeah. So speaking of remodeling, we were talking a little bit before, I know you're doing some remodeling of your house right now, which is why you're like in a different location. So
yeah,
it's
in the attic.
It's like a testament to what we're discussing right now with having to remodel your life and having to make these mindset shifts. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is why exactly should we talk about debt?
Because most Americans are dealing with more than ever before. We keep hitting the U.S. average household debt loads keep hitting all-time record highs. Most Americans have it. It's real. There's different explanations. There's seven different ways most people get into significant debt. We can maybe talk about that if we have time, but it's just real. It's the real thing. And for many people, not all, but most. And so we need to address it, especially if there's a simple yet powerful way to approach it. And I think, again, just by the grace of God, I think we put together something that simplifies it and makes it just a stone cold win for anybody who wants to check it out.
Yeah. So I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into that. So you said there was like seven major reasons why people get stuck and they get caught up into debt. And even for your situation where you pretty much had to hit the reset button twice, once where you had to file for bankruptcy, and then you came out to Texas and got involved with your friend and your partner, and you know, you turned it into a huge real estate company that did really well. And then the Great Recession happened and you pretty much had to hit the reset button again. So having to go through this experience, not once, but twice, what was it that when you realized what these seven different ways of accruing debt or what it was that you wanted to talk about?
Mike, I'm like most people. We just react to what's in front of us and we're just trying to juggle things and make our way. And so I don't want to romanticize my situation, but I'll tell you the truth. Where I really started thinking about these things, like all the different kinds of causes and the different effects, not just financially, but emotionally, mentally, relationship, and even spiritually. That's after I worked in, after doing real estate for 15 years and stuff, I said, hey, I want to work with people in distress. And I had an opportunity to work in the debt relief field. And I soon hated it. And Mike, the reason was I was talking to all these people from every situation, every background, every place, and hearing where they were at, many of them in tears, most of them embarrassed, just feeling shame, feeling just so much failures. And it's, you know what? This industry is messed up. They're not giving people what they need. They're trying to slam them into programs, depending on what they're selling. And it's just not working. Where do people get help? And so I left that field. But later, when the recession, the COVID pandemic hit a couple of years ago, I was on a retreat, putting my mind to some other things. And I got hit with this whole deal about there's a simple way to help people, give them what they need in terms of simple tools, mindset, and direction to deal with debt. And so that's what Debt Free SAP, the book. I've since done a free fast track video course. It's just, I want to help people avoid the mistakes, the scams, and the cookie cutter programs that they'll find out there if they're shopping.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And speaking of those different programs and things like that, how would somebody avoid some of these things and avoid some of these common mistakes that you've seen and experienced over the years? Because you even said when working in that industry, you saw what people were coming in, the problems that they were having, and it was almost predatory, right? When you think about how people would take advantage of those folks that were really suffering and having such a hard time. So what are ways that people can avoid getting trapped like that?
We've tried to break it down as simply as this. Three things. Number one, assess your situation, meaning your debt load, your balances, your minimum monthlies, your percentage rates of interest on everything you have. Put it down, put it in front of you. I have free forms I offer people so if they are already set up, they can just fill in the blanks. The bottom line is, most people, Mike, you wouldn't believe it. Most people in distress, they're not clear on where they stand. They may think they have 10,000 and they actually end up having 28,000 of debt. They may think they have 50,000 and they have over 100,000. I'm telling you the truth. Every chapter starts with a conversation with somebody that I've worked with. And oftentimes they just are overwhelmed. You know how it is when somebody just envelopes in the drawer and hope they go away, or you just have a hard time getting your arms around things, or you're dealing with grandma or your kid's in trouble, or you're going through a separation or something. A lot of stuff happens in life. Gotta pull it together, take a look and see where you're at. And not just your finances, but like your life. Do you have major decision points, stress points, or considerations that go beyond that affect everything? It's time to look and assess your situation. Step number one. Assessment. Step number two is very similar, and that is you got to know your options rather than just call one of these companies. And I'm telling you, if somebody's talking to you on a phone and they've advertised or promoted in any way, shape, or form, meaning they've spent serious money to get you, they don't really care. They want you in their program. The person on the phone, they're paid to get you in.
Yeah, you're a paid lead at that point. And their whole point is to try to convert you as a lead into a client.
That's their one and only job. And now whether that program fits your best interest or not is totally up in the air. And they're not going to sit there and consult you. I got in trouble constantly because I was walking people through their situation, trying to look at what kind of solutions may be there, not just what I was selling. And you get in trouble doing that, by the way. That's okay. I'm a big boy, so I could deal with it, but it's real. So everybody's out to jam you into whatever they're selling. I'm not selling anything. I'm just selling understanding basically the seven solutions. I have a free cheat sheet we give away. So it gives you some simple pros and cons for each thing. And I'm talking about ranging from old school, pay it down, target certain accounts to get them paid off and then move to the next one. Let's call it different things. I call it old school payoff plan. Okay. Next one, you're thinking consolidation maybe. There's three different kinds of consolidation. What are they? How do they work? Simple, pros and cons. Good. Let's talk about hardship programs. A lot of people don't even know they exist. They're behind on their payments. Chances are we can get them talking, or they can just talk with somebody with a hardship program that's going to reduce the interest, cut the payment down, probably close the account if it's not already closed because of missing some payments, but help people because even the creditors have realized they'd rather help you survive than see you die financially and take a. So there's hardship programs, there's getting family assistance, there's settlements, there's different forms of bankruptcy, and sometimes doing nothing is the strategic play. And we talk about even that, we call it the status quo. But you have a range of options, might as well understand them so you can pick the best one for your situation.
And I think that's the key thing that you're putting out here is that there are several options, and it's not like a one size fits all. Every Band-Aid's the same size for every cut. So you have to find the right one to treat your wound the right way. So like I always tie things into whatever analogies or whatever, but it's true though, right? Because it's not, there is no one size fits all. Sure, you could do like some type of debt consolidation loan or something like that, but that's an option. But there's other options out there, like what you're talking about with the relief from the credit companies. It's about the person on the other side, the person that's dealing with this, understanding that they do have different options, different ways to just get past this or beat this. And now just talking about your approach to this and how it seems like you are very personal when you're dealing with whoever you're dealing with as a client, that you have this personal touch to it. It feels like you genuinely care when you're talking with somebody, you're working with somebody trying to figure out what it is that's going to work for them. How is the approach, the way that you go to attack debt, how is that different from some of the common ones we see like Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman talking about debt and everything? So what are some of the things that you do that's different than them?
We'll get back to the show after a brief break. Real estate investors know they're leaving money on the table every time they pass a rundown property and do nothing about it. Deal Machine lets you and your team pin distressed properties, look up the property owner on the spot, and send a personalized postcard to the owner directly from the app all within a few seconds. You can set up mail on repeat to make sure you won't forget to follow up, and while the app is sending a custom postcard, you can look up the owner's phone number and email instantly. Plus, if you want to find even more off-market deals, you can build a team of people to drive for you. You just get to track how many properties your deal finders add every day, making your deal finding a scalable and profitable process. Go to dealmachine.com and use the code AVERAGEJOE, that's AVGJOE, for 15 marketing credits during your free trial. That's AVERAGEJOE, AVGJOE.
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
That's a great question, Mike. And I'm asked periodically, especially about Dave Ramsey. I wrote an article recently called "The Day Dave Ramsey Was All Wrong About Debt and How to Know Good Debt from Bad." And a woman called in and said, "Hey, I make about $70,000. I finally paid off my debt. I want to buy a house. I'm excited, but I have a car and I owe like $27,000 and I'm a little upside down on that. Should I worry?" And immediately Dave's sidekick jumps in and goes, "Oh, no, you got to pay that off before you go to after the house." And Dave's in the background going, and so she's going, "Huh?" And I'm sitting there. This is a classic question that leads to a fuller discussion. Of course, now they have commercial breaks and everything they've got to juggle and all that. But they didn't sound her out. They didn't find out what her situation really is. Why is she interested in the house? Why now? Where? How much? Is she helping mom out? Is she going in on it with a friend, a partner, a husband? What's the situation? They didn't ask any of those questions. They just had a dogmatic mindset that said, pay off car before you buy a house. And I'm sitting there, and in my article, I say, hey, look, let's look at this. They made some mistakes. Number one, they never even said, hey, way to go, paying off your debt. Now, that's a big achievement. We need to remind everybody that's an important thing. As for the car, being slightly negative in a car usually corrects itself over time as you pay down the note and the valuation of the car stabilizes after some early depreciation. I don't want to talk over anybody's head here, but the bottom line is it's no big deal. It usually corrects itself. So it's not anything that's going to cause your home mortgage lender or even you to really worry. Plus, most vehicles are low interest. They're secured. They're not like a credit card. They're secured by the asset. And most people, a vehicle is a line item in their monthly overhead. It's not really like a major debt. She could get rid of the car if she wanted to. Anyway, there's different things there. My point is, you don't stop somebody from buying a home when interest rates were almost zero. This was before, I just stumbled across this recording that I heard, and it was right, but it was before all this pandemic hit and everything, where before all the buying demand spiked and prices on homes spiked and everything. So I basically explained that this woman could have bought a home with low interest before prices spiked. And instead, she was told to do something that has her on the sidelines, toiling away to pay off a car that probably now is worth $10,000 over what she owes because of what's happened in the marketplace. And she has no home. And so you got to get into the fabric of somebody's life to understand what's important, why, and not be closed-minded or dogmatic about your opinions. Because there is some debt is better than others. High interest, low value, credit cards, bad debt. Get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. Hey, a home that's at 3% interest that's accruing asset value, equity, and over time, tax advantages, et cetera. I'm not going to talk anybody out of that. I think it's ridiculous. That's just real life. And so many people who have subscribed to Ramsey or anyone else's barbers, or they usually just whisper out of the side of their mouth, I don't go along with that other stuff. I like some of his stuff, but I don't believe in half of that other stuff. So I was like, come on, let's be real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a great point. As a matter of fact, in my own journey to beating debt, I started off as a big Dave Ramsey fan for his 7 baby steps. And for me, it was steps 1 through 3. After that, I was done. After right. that, I said, okay, it's time to look at something else. Because I was like, I don't see myself paying off my home like super early as something that would be advantageous when I have such a low interest rate. Right now, I'm sitting at 2.25% interest rate on my home. Nice. Which is insane. And my home has appreciated 41% over the last 3.5 years, mostly due to the pandemic. Normally, it's about 5% a year out here in Hawaii. I would have missed out on all of that if I would have came out here to Hawaii and decided to rent instead because I'm following someone else's advice because my car wasn't paid off or whatever. And each person has a different situation. And that's, I think that's huge when you're talking about how she called in and no questions were asked. It was just like, oh, nope. Yeah, you got all they saw was the number. Oh, $27,000 in a vehicle loan. That's got to go before you even think about doing a house. And then if they would have went further, he probably would have said, make sure you save up enough cash to buy the house cash, which is insane. But yeah, one of the things I wrote down as you were talking about that, because I like to take notes while we're going, I wrote down that it's important to celebrate your wins. Right? Like you said, nobody said anything to her about, hey, congratulations on paying off that consumer debt, getting those credit cards paid off, those loans paid off. That's huge. And I think it helps somebody with their mindset and it puts more positivity on it that the actions that they're taking is working and it helps them to continue down that path. So celebrating those wins, I think, is 100% important. So I do financial coaching as well. And some of the people I work with, I tell them like, hey, when you pay off this credit card, go out and have a nice dinner, go celebrate, go do something, because it helps you as you go through. Because what a lot of people don't talk about is the emotion that's tied to this, the emotion that's tied to the debt, the emotion that's tied to your money. As much as people want to say, oh, I'm not emotionally tied to my money, I'm not materialistic, you are. Like every time you spend money, subconsciously, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, you're feeling that right in the back of your head. It's super important that you do, that you celebrate these wins. And that I think that was one of the biggest things that I took away from that.
But you and I see eye to eye, believe me, because I finished this book talking about coaches like yourself, myself, but the value of coaches, I call it the 7 virtues of a coach. I won't go into them, but know them intrinsically. The point is, if you celebrate every step of the way you're just getting the juice, right? You're getting a whole momentum that feeds on itself, because most people are stuck. They're just stuck. And they're in the fog of war of just being overwhelmed. And that's why assessing your situation breaks you out of that. You get clarity, you get direction, you get inspiration. Then you look at your options, you get clarity, you can be decisive. And then the third step that we share is create a plan with whatever support you need to succeed. And that's where coaches and fellowship come in of fellow travelers. But hey, you got to know in a marathon, you hit the wall, and a smart runner or a good coach prepare and have your mindset to keep your eyes on the prize and celebrate every step of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because hey, if you're doing this, you're on this journey, and the journey the entire time is one big party. You'll never want to stop.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome.
Debt-free forever is what we call the support part of just carrying on.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. Absolutely. Now, you had mentioned earlier that there was like three keys, right? There's these three debt recovery keys that you think everyone should know as widely as 1 + 2 = 3. Was that what you were talking about before with the assess the situation, know your options, or create a plan, or is this something different?
That's how simple it is. Okay. Assess your situation, review your options, and create a plan with whatever support you need to succeed, or just create a plan.
Awesome. Well, I just want to make sure I got to that, because that was like when you mentioned it earlier, and I figured that's what it was, but I wanted to make sure that we hit that piece, because I know that was like one of the key things that I wanted to discuss with you today, right?
Yes.
And I think that's huge. And I want to point that out, how assessing your situation, knowing what your options are, and then creating that plan. One of the things that I said to, it's to make it as known as widely as 1 + 2 = 3. That's like a simple math problem, but that's how simple this is right here too. You're talking about the three debt recovery keys. That's how simple it is. 1 + 2 = 3, right?
Yes.
If you can follow that simple formula, that simple mathematical equation, you can really get yourself set up to be in a really good spot in the future. And there's a lot of people that listen to my show right now that are probably well past this stage, which is fine. But there's also people that are listening that are just now getting started on their journey to getting out of debt so they can start building their wealth and control their future. That's actually my tagline on my website and the podcast too. It's beat your debt, build your wealth, and control your future.
Nice.
And it's just that simple. And you have to be able to just assess, create the plan, and then move on. Of course, know your options. I think one of the things is that a lot of people don't know what some of these options are. And I really appreciate the fact that we touched on that, because a lot of people that I've worked with in the past, they feel like the only way to get out of their debt is to create like another smaller debt bubble by consolidating everything into this one massive loan that encompasses everything, which for some people, that might be the thing that works. It helps them with the discipline because they're only making one payment now, multiple small things. But at the same time, for someone else, that might not work, because now they realize they have this huge looming payment that they have to pay every month, and it's just not going to work for them. They like the little bite-sized ones better. And the snowball method might be better for them. And that's what I did myself, was the snowball method and the envelope system. And now I do sinking funds. I think that's super huge. That people have these different options. And that's why I wanted to touch on that near the end here. But John, there's something that I just added to my podcast not too long. I'm calling it the final round. And it's where I have four questions that I'd like to ask you. They're quick hitting, but they're like to the point. And I think they add massive value to both myself asking you these questions and to our listeners. So if you're ready to do that, I'd like to go into our final round.
Final round.
Okay, awesome. All right. So first question, this is a big one. Ready? What's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
Financially, I would say not investing in Tesla when I had my son do a research project before they went public, and was trying to teach him how to spot a winner, and I didn't make that move.
Wow. So you were looking at it before it went public?
Yes.
I kick myself in the butt all the time when I look at back in when I first moved to Hawaii, right after we bought our house, I was looking at buying a Tesla. I wanted to buy a Tesla so bad. And I was at the dealership and I'm talking to the guy there, and he was telling me, every time we sell a car, we get some Tesla shares and stuff too that go along with our commission. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, I was thinking about buying some Tesla, but I just feel like it's a little overpriced right now. And I think at the time in 2018, it was like $276 a share. This is pre-split. Okay.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I think it's too overpriced. And he's, yeah, I think it's a little overpriced too, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, man, if I would have only known what was going to happen over the next few years, woo.
We have that in common. Okay.
Yeah. So we do have that in common. However, I like to not look at that as a, I wish I could have, should have, would have, because a lot of times that can really weigh you down.
Yeah. Not worried about it.
But that's super cool, though, that you were showing him that and he was writing a paper on it, just how to pick out a good winner. And I don't think we really talked about this earlier in the show, but I want to point out how important that is that you are teaching your children that, right? And how important it is that they understand financial literacy and how to do this for themselves. Because as a parent, I know at least for me as a parent, my whole thing is I want to build a situation that's better for my children than what I have. And I think that's really awesome.
Can I interject on that? Because I just want to give you a huge amen to that. And mention that, like you said, a lot of your listeners are already doing okay and they're not like under the gun debt-wise. This book is super fun to read. It's easy, it's fast, and you can watch the free video course as well as an option. But it's not just for you. It's how you can help other people. Most of us have family members or friends or other people we come across who need help and they have no clue. And you can just download or you can send them to the free video if you want. But more importantly, you can share because you now have this grid, this outline, you can share it and you can empower and encourage anyone. Pass Absolutely. It on.
That's huge. Always pass it on and pay it forward. You got to pay it yes. forward, right? Okay. Awesome. I love that. So let's move on to question two.
Yes.
And I'm going to love this question for you because just the experiences you've had and just what we've already discussed, I'm excited for this one. So what is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first started your journey?
Boy, so many things. You know what? When I came out of football, I played several years of pro ball, got paid pretty well, not great back then. It was before big money, but I had the means to make some moves and I didn't. Instead, I rolled the dice. I brought in investors. I went the entrepreneurial route. And I wish I had understood more about not only real estate, which later, of course, got into, but the value of taking funds early and seeing them grow early. I had a mindset that was just much more, hey, I'm going to build big things and I'm not going to worry about what I'm doing like month to month in terms of investing in this or that. So I would say, financially speaking, that's probably the thing. I wish I had understood those dynamics a little bit more at the beginning.
That's awesome. Okay. This actually, it works perfectly because that's going to tie into the next question. So do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone that is just getting started today?
That Dave Ramsey article I mentioned, one of the things I talk about there is the slogan I've created for myself is everything depends on everything. Okay. When somebody asks a question, hey, should I buy this or should I do that? The answer usually is it depends. Everything depends on everything. And so you can't just grab something out of the air and say, yeah, this is something I need to do. It depends on all the elements of where you're at, what you care about, what your goals are, this, that, and the other thing. And then evaluating if it's not debt recovery options, it's investment options. So you got to look at your options, review those, and then create a plan. 1 + 2 = 3, your situation plus your option, best option equals your best plan. Follow it step by step. And so that's all I got. It's everything depends on everything. Don't do things just because you're supposed to or just because that expert says do it. Unpack your situation and your opportunity. And I think I went way off track on that, Mike. So sorry.
No, that's perfect. Sometimes depending on what your situation is and what you're trying to do, you got to trust your own intuition and trust yourself. And I think that's where you were going with that because a lot of people they'll go with, hey, Dave Ramsey said this, or I heard this from John or Mike on the podcast, and I feel this is the route I should go. Not everything you hear is what you should do. Again, when you talked about those three steps and that first one, assess the situation, right? Then the next thing where you talk about know your options. That's the most important part is assessing the situation and then knowing what your options are. And then of course you got to execute, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not doing that, you're not assessing the situation, you're not knowing what options you have ahead of you, and you're just going to listen to something because you heard somebody say it on the radio or TV or on a podcast or a YouTube video or whatever, then you're probably not going to put yourself in a very good situation because you're not following your own goal, your own ideas of what's going to work for you personally. I absolutely love that answer. Okay, let's move on to the final question here, the fourth question. And that is, do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast or both?
I've always enjoyed The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think that's one of my favorites. I think the four quadrants of, what's the book it's not good to grade. It's 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person, I think, yep. Because maybe it is good to great, where you have the four grids of something that's an urgent matter or an important matter, not important, not timely, whatever. And just having an understanding of what's really important and urgent. That means high priority. If something's important, but it's not urgent, I shouldn't be wasting time during prime time in my day on that. It's important, yes, but it's not in front of me now. And so I'm going to put it off to the side. I'd say those have stuck with me.
Yeah, fantastic. And the first one you mentioned too, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is one of those books that's just foundational, right? For somebody that's just starting their journey, it's great to read because it helps build that foundation so you know what to do after you beat your debt, but it helps you understand how your debt really is a liability, at least the bad debt, like those credit cards and things like that. And then you learn how to turn other debt into an asset building machine. And that's one of the things that I loved about that book. So that's fantastic. Now, I do have one more question for you. I know that was like the final four, but this is separate from that. And this is probably the most important question of all, because as folks are sitting here listening to this show, listening to this episode, they're like, hey, Mike and John are talking about some really awesome stuff. We really like what John's talking about with his program and how he has these three debt recovery keys that everybody should know. And we want to know more about him, his program, and what he's doing, and about your book too. So if you could share with us where people could find more information about you. Do you have a website you can share, social media? Where can we find your book? That's the burning question that people want to know.
Where most people go for books is Amazon.com. I'm grateful that we were an Amazon number one new release book, and we've been top of the charts now for about a year, and very thankful for that. And the reviews have been really cool, where people are saying, hey, you know what? Finally, somebody is looking at my situation, not just forcing their ideas on me, but trying to help me look at my situation in a different way. It's on Amazon. It's a Kindle ebook. It's also a paperback. It doesn't cost much. So brother or sister, grab it. And I think you're going to enjoy it and benefit from it. The other thing I want to say, Mike, is I just loaded a free online 38-minute fast-track video course. And it includes my story as we build each person's recovery story of their own. And it's at freedebtvideo.com. Just go to freedebtvideo.com. It introduces you to my own website as well, but it gives you the free forms. I talked about the free assessment forms. You can get PDFs to print out, or you can do Excel on your computer if you like. Also, the 7 debt solutions that you should know. That's a cheat sheet, free, comes with it. And then just watch the video, and it gives you everything you need to succeed. It really does. And if you want to get some personal assistance, I offer my consultation and support in an incredible approach for less than $100. People say I'm crazy, but you know what? That's where it is right now. I want to help as many people as possible.
That's awesome. And being able to do that at a point where you're keeping the price point very low, especially for people that are coming to you, are probably in a situation where they really can't afford much more than $100 and things like that. People think I'm crazy too, because I do my coaching at a very low price compared to other coaches. And I do it for that reason. I don't need to like make a ton of money off of coaching. I do it because I genuinely want to help other people. And what I really love about the conversation that we had and talking about what you do, and even when you just give out these free resources and you're coaching at such a low price and consultations, I know that you genuinely care about the clients that you take on as well. And I just think that's phenomenal. So I am super humbled by your presence with me today, having this conversation, coming on my show. I really do appreciate that. And I want to point that out. So I want to make sure that for everybody that's listening, we're going to have all of this information in the show notes to make it easy for you to find John, to find his websites, to find his book. We'll make sure it's all there. So if you're driving, don't sit here and try to type in a website or whatever. Just go back into the episode later and copy it out of the show notes. And while you're doing that, go ahead and leave us a review. That'd be great. Hey, John, again, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me today, especially on a Saturday. This was awesome. It was a real treat.
My sentiments exactly. Thank you so much, Mike. It's been a blast being with you, and God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.